Schaefer, thank you, Mr. Dahlman. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Last week we had a happy story about a lost person. This week we have a sad story about a saved one. A mistake, a terrible mistake is being made. He's not the only person that's made that mistake. People keep making it. What if you had a little bit more? Let's just say I had a pocket full of $100 bills. Anybody like that idea? I'd like to have a pocket full of $100 bills. Let's just say I came around tonight and I gave everybody a $100 bill. Would that solve all your problems? Would that be the answer to your desire for happiness? Now that's a weak illustration because the mistake tonight is that somebody had to sin in order to get something. And they thought, if I had a little bit more, I guess I'd be happier. I guess I would be more content. If I had a little bit more, and it's right there for the taking, then that would be enough. Folks, I'm going to ask you a question, and please answer yourself. Don't answer out loud, but answer to yourself honestly. Are you content with what God has given you? The Bible says every good gift cometh from above. If I had a little bit more. A fellow called me one time and he said, would you like to come and do some work for me and I'll pay you, I forgot what it was, $1,000. And I thought to myself, you know, I've got everything I need. God pays my bills, amen? If your bills are paid, God paid them. If they're not paid, it could be that he gave you the money and you used it in the wrong place, but that's another story for another day. But doesn't God meet our needs? And I had everything I needed, and I didn't really think it was a good idea to take the time that I was going to spend serving God and use that time somewhere else. And so I said, no, that's okay. Thank you for asking. Are we content? Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What does that word content mean? Content is when you got enough. But even if you don't have enough, content is the way you feel when you do. You say, well, Pastor, I have a bill that I haven't paid yet. Can I remind you God has enough? Amen? And sometimes he lets us wait and then he gives it to us when we need it. Anyone here with little children, you know good and well, if you gave your 10-year-old child $1,000, look out. If these guys over here all of a sudden all got $1,000, there would be a mad rush to the video game store. They would swing by Circle K on the way and get 20 bucks worth of... We used to have kids at camp, and they'd come into camp, and we would take the money, and we would put it on a little card so that we knew how much they had, so they hadn't got to handle money all week, and then they'd just buy things off the card. And some children would come to camp with $5 for sodas and candies, and some would come with, like, what, Mrs. Schaefer, 40 or 50 bucks. Are you kidding me? You're going to let a child have $50 worth of candy bars in 5 days? That's a lot of candy bars that we were selling them for probably less than 50 cents a piece. Where I'm going with all this is there's a mistake that this fellow makes that you and I might be guilty of making as well. And that mistake comes with a price. It comes with a cost. It comes with some suffering. It's also the devil's lie that would get you to make that mistake. This man's name is Gehazi. And just to start off with, Elisha, he is an incredible prophet. The things that we've seen him do already are amazing, and he's not done yet. The message next Sunday night is going to be where the fellow's using the axe, and they drop the axe in the water. And he says, oh, no, I borrowed that. This guy was a Baptist, right? He borrowed tools, okay? And, oh, no, I borrowed that. Elisha, no problem. And he floats it to the surface. And the guy gets it. And we talked about how Elisha could satisfy the men with all those things, the food and so on. Elisha's a great, and Gehazi's been right there with him all the time. Just ask yourself, don't you think Gehazi could see what God could do? Don't you think Gehazi could see where Elisha's priorities were? Elisha told Naaman in the previous week, he said, I do not want any of your riches. Naaman was ready to handsomely reward, give him money and clothes and all sorts of things if in exchange for being healed. And folks, we don't buy gifts. We don't buy God's goodness. God gives us his goodness because of grace. And folks, I'd a lot rather have God's grace than the world's riches. And so Elisha told Naaman, no, I don't want your wealth. And Naaman took it and left. And Gehazi watched him go and thought, man, I sure could use some of that. That would make me happy. Folks, I'll tell you, it won't. And you gotta make a choice between what the world has to offer and what God has to offer. It is an insult to God when we say, God, you're not good enough. I want what the world has. In fact, the Bible says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. So you and I have got to make a decision. We need to make this decision. We ought to make this decision. Where are we going to go for satisfaction, for provision, for contentment? Are we going to go to God? Or are we going to go to the world? And too many Christians say, oh, I'm going to go to God. And then they get to looking around at the world and think, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. Maybe I could have a little of both. Let's look at this. I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 20 through 27. Even the first word jumps out at us, but after all the good things we just saw, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, that's interesting, running, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. That's a pretty good amount of money, by the way. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he says, that's the second time he's lied, by the way. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the men turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Father, thank you tonight as we see a simple, obvious story. We can tell exactly what's happening. In Gehazi's life, it's easy to see. In our life, sometimes it's a little more difficult. But help us to see our life clearly and ask that question. Are we trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we trusting in God for our contentment, for our provision, for everything that we have, that we receive, that we need? Or are we looking to the world? Are we seeking the world's approval? Are we seeking the world's riches? Are we seeking the world's pleasure? Are we seeking the world's blessing, so to speak? God, help us tonight. Help us to make this very clear and to remember it and take it home with us and live our lives according to what you would have us to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It just seems like to a lot of people that the world has got something to offer that would make us happier. And don't we see it all the time in the media, all the advertising? And don't you remember, I grew up in the 60s more or less. Some of us did here, and some of us don't even know when that was because you weren't born yet. But do you remember in the 60s how they used to advertise cigarettes on TV? And it was always the one I remember, because my dad and my stepmother both smoked, and my dad smoked Marlboros. And they had the guy on the horse, and he had a cowboy hat on, and he's riding out there on the range. They've got clean air on the range. Cigarettes aren't that way. And my dad looked a little bit like that guy, except my dad was much more thin than that fellow was. He had a hat kind of like that, and he liked to ride a horse. And they thought, you know, if you do equate... You need to equate this sin of smoking with something happy, something that just looks like you're free and you're content and you're doing well. And they sold a lot of cigarettes that way, and a lot of people died of cancer that way. And the point of the matter is that the way the world makes sin look is not really the way sin is. Now, you need to understand a couple of things, and I don't want to miss these, so I'll tell you now. Number one, it is not God's joy. It's not a pleasure to God. It wasn't a pleasure to Elisha that Gehazi ended up with leprosy. That's an example to you and I. Gehazi received leprosy so God could show us something about what happens when we turn away from God and go after the things of the world, that there's a price for that. You can't have both. You have to make a choice. If you go back to the world for your pleasure and satisfaction, you're going back where God saved you from. Don't misunderstand. Gehazi knew Elisha's will. And therefore he knew God's will. And Elisha said no because God said no. If there was nothing wrong with taking these possessions that were offered by Naaman, Elisha would have taken them. But Elisha said, no, I will not. And Gehazi said, man, he missed the opportunity. But if it was such an opportunity, why did he have to lie twice in order to get it? And you see, that's what the devil's going to do to you and I. He's going to put something out there that looks really pleasurable. And it may be in the world's eyes and in the world's sensations pleasurable. But then if you look a little closer, you can see a price tag hanging off the side of it. And that price tag says on the side, it says S-I-N. You can have that if you'll sin. And here's what we do. We do the very same thing Eve did. That sure looks good. If I had that, I'd be better off. Disobeying God doesn't seem nearly so bad as going without what the devil's offering me. And we say to ourselves, I'm willing to pay the price. And I want you to know something, the price... It's sort of like the deal with the solar roof right now, where all the folks signed up for solar roof, if you've read about this. And then the company came back and said, oh yeah, it's going to be another $30,000 or $50,000. It's the same thing the devil does to you. He says, yeah, here's the price tag. And he's got his hand on it when he shows you the goodie. And then when you see what the price really is, you wish you hadn't paid it. Let me just ask you, do you think Gehazi was happier at the end of the chapter than he was at the beginning of the chapter? No. Just, if nothing else, if you just believe God, there's a lesson here. Leave it alone. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your children. Gehazi's leprosy apparently was passed down further than just him. It says there in verse 27, thy seed forever, your descendants. The decisions you make in life are going to affect you. And they're going to affect others as well. And if you have children, they're going to affect them. So here we go with this. This won't take too long, but what was Gehazi's mistake? I got some D words for you here. His mistake was desire. He wanted something that God had chosen not to give him. What has God given you? Stop and think about that to begin with. Have you ever done that thing at Thanksgiving where you write down the blessings of God? I used to get my children to, before we ate Thanksgiving dinner, to tell me something they were thankful for. Or we'd make them write a few things down or whatever. But we ought to do that once in a while. Look at all the things God's given you. Wow, God's good. Amen? I'm not talking about, I know you don't have everything, but you got a lot. Just living in the nation we live in and our healthcare system. How many of you here have enjoyed in the last 12 months, my hand will go up, have enjoyed the benefits of living in a land with good health care? Yeah, wow. I don't even know what would have happened to me. I have a friend who's a missionary in Thailand. I told you before, he was in a motorcycle wreck, and he broke his arm, broke his shoulder, actually. And his son took him to the hospital on the motorbike because he couldn't drive it anymore. And he got to the hospital, and it was so decrepit and so dirty, they sat there for about 10 minutes, and they left. And they had to try to find some place to get the shoulder treated because it was broken. And here in the country, now I know there's some hospitals in town that folks don't prefer. I've heard people say, oh, that's a terrible place. It used to be, when I first got here, people told me, they said, please, and don't, I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. They said, don't go to Abrazo. How many of you remember that a long time ago? Nobody raised their hand now. Mrs. Schaefer remembers. Okay, yeah. So when I got sick and I went to Abrazo, they took great care of me. Well, okay, yeah, great care. And they did, I'm here I am. And there's a couple of things that could have been better, but it's always that way. We live in a blessed land. We are blessed people. There's nobody that I know of going to go home tonight and be hungry because you can't afford food. And if you can't afford food, you better tell me. Oh, by the way, as long as I'm chastening the church, folks, when you get sick, let me know. Amen. I like to hear from somebody else what's going on, but I really would rather hear it from you. Just send me a text. It's free, I think. And let me know if you're hurt or if you're sick. I want to pray for you. I want to know. I want to keep up with you and so on. We are blessed people. The food we have, the vehicles, the jobs, the health care, the homes, the families, everything that we have comes from God. What do you have that didn't come from God? Well, what do you need that God didn't give you? Nothing. In fact, if you don't have it, it's probably because God knows it's not good for you. Gehazi made the mistake of desire. He wanted something. He wasn't content. If I had a little bit more, I'd be happy. And what an opportunity. Naaman is fabulously wealthy. I have a note in the margin of my Bible here that amount of money he received was valuable to the tune of, it could have been thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Probably everybody here thinks if I had $100,000, my problems would be mostly solved. You know, there's some people that have millions and they got problems that can't be solved. And I have a God that can solve my problems. And it doesn't cost a penny. And he loves to do that. Now, Gehazi had a desire problem. He had a dabbling problem. Now, watch this. Look at, if you will, what he says. In verse 22, now Naaman had lots and lots with him. He says, just give me a talent of silver and two changes of garment. Now, Naaman had many, many, many times that much. What Gehazi is thinking is, a little bit won't hurt. I love it when children agree with my message. A little bit won't hurt, somebody says. If I just had a little bit, oh, I'm not going to get carried away. Just a little bit of sin, that won't be so bad. Yeah, just a little bit here. I don't want it all. I know there's a lot of sin in the world, just a little bit. Folks, a little bit sent Christ to the cross. He died for every sin you and I ever committed. And we may think, like Gehazi did, as long as I don't take too much, it won't hurt me. It hurt him. You know, sin is sort of like this question. If you ask somebody, are you a thief? Well, the truth of the matter is a lot of people are thieves. Well, they say, I never have robbed a bank. You know, the Bible doesn't say you have to rob a bank to be a thief. You just take something that's not yours, you're a thief. You might ask, are you a liar? Somebody says, I'm not a liar. Be careful, you might probably just did. I'm not habitually, I don't lie all the time. But if you've ever stolen, you're a thief. If you've ever lied, you're a liar. You see, it doesn't take but a little bit. The Bible says every sin, ultimately what it comes down to is this. Once you've broken the law, you're a lawbreaker. So you go, how is he already in this passage? He's going to sin. He's already sinned once by the time we got to that place where he lied about why he wanted it. And then he goes back and lies to Elisha as well. And here's a little clue, folks. If you and I have to sin to get something, God doesn't want you to have that. Make sense? If you got to sin to get it, if you have to sin to get it, then God didn't want you to have it. You're filling your taxes out. How many of you do your own taxes? Okay, good. I do. Be careful. And you say, well, you know, nobody's going to know if I write this number down a little bit bigger or a little bit different. You know what you're saying? God isn't enough. I want a little more. You're doing the same thing Gehazi did. I'm not happy. If I had a little more, if I had that extra $10 that I'm going to get back from the government, oh, that would make me happy. No, it wouldn't. And you had to sin to get it. If you have to sin to get it, if you have to sin to get it, if you have to do something that God said not to do, or don't do something God said to do, you shouldn't have it. He's got a problem with desire. He's got a problem with dabbling. He's got a problem with doubt. How much money do you need to retire? Can anybody really answer that question? Yeah, God can. Amen? I know a missionary whose dad was in Africa most of his life, and he came back from Africa, and he's like most missionaries, he spent just about every penny he had staying in Africa, being a missionary, getting souls saved, and now he came back, and he's old, and he's poor, and he's off the field, he's not supported anymore. What's going to happen to him? Well, I guess God will have to take care of him, amen? Don't doubt the fact. I'm not saying it's right to not make any plans for the future. The Bible says that a wise man lays up for his grandchildren. A righteous man, I think is what the verse says. But anyway, I'm not saying it's not right to plan ahead, but I am saying this. There's a lot of things you and I don't know. I don't know what my needs are going to be next year. Oh, sure, you got a house payment or a car payment or you got some insurance bills or whatever. But folks, who knows our needs? God. Amen? So what Gehazi says is, if I had a little bit more, I'd be prepared for the future better. Does he really need a change of garment? No. Same as that fellow Achan when they went to Jericho. He took the things that were forbidden and promptly buried them. He really didn't need them. He just wanted them. A lot of the things, and young men, listen to this. This is important. A lot of the things you think would make you happy that you want, when you get them, you're just going to set them down and go on. You're going to bury them in the ground somewhere, so to speak. They're not going to make a difference in your life. The things that will make you happy if you're a child of God are things that come from God, not things that come from the world and from sin. He had a doubt. He didn't trust God with his future. He thought maybe if he had some more, he'd be in a better position. He was discontent. We've talked about that. The discontentment, he did not have an unmet need. I mean, he probably didn't eat the best food every day, but he wasn't starving. He probably didn't have the nicest accommodations, but he wasn't cold. And he probably didn't have some things other people had, but he was a servant to the prophet. Think of the things he got to do other people didn't get to do. And you know what happened? That wasn't quite enough. What if I just had a little more? I just say this, you know it if you're getting older, but here's a simple story. If you aren't happy with what you have, you won't be happy with what you get. Because contentment does not come from the things that you have. Contentment comes from God. Paul said, I've learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. Can God satisfy us? We talked about that before. Yes, he can. When the devil comes to you and says, oh, if you had this, you'd be happy, just tell him, I'm already happy. If you had this, you'd be more content. I'm already content. There's an unsettling thing here. Gehazi's not satisfied, not settled. He wants something else. And when you start looking for something else in the world, you saw what he had to do. What did he have to do to get what he wanted? He had to leave the man of God and leave his position of service and go somewhere else. He's not where God wants him to be, is he? The discontentment was not satisfied even after he got what he thought he wanted. He got distracted. Folks, our reward comes from the world. One of the greatest phrases in this passage is that phrase there in verse 26. Look with me there, if you will. He comes back, and Elisha says, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" In other words, Elisha says, you thought nobody saw it, but I did. And oh, by the way, we thought nobody saw it, but God did. And then Elisha asks this little simple great question that we'll kind of finish up with. Is it a time? What time is it? What time is it? Not time to be in eternity yet, or we'd be there. Who determines what time it is for you and I? God establishes what time it is for you and I. Is it time to receive our reward? Not yet, but it will be. Is it time to cease from our labors? Not yet, but the damn rest coming. Is it a time to get wealthy? So many folks think, if I was wealthy, I'd be happy. It's not that time yet. Folks, you are a co-inheritor with Christ. A day is coming when everything that he owns, you are a co-inheritor of that. You see somebody that's got something nice and you think, I wished I had that. When you step into eternity, they're going to wish they had what you have. Because what they have is here and now, and it's very temporary, but in eternity it lasts forever. It's going to seem like it's new every day. What time is it? That's a real good question. He's distracted. And then just plain old disobedience. Do you think, obviously you do, that Elisha disapproved? Well, he had to lie to get what he wanted. And I love this. Anybody who's a teacher here can appreciate this. In verse 25, Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And what a man. He really is out of sorts here. He says, "I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere." Sounds like a student, Mrs. Dahlman, Mr. Dahlman. "I didn't do that." What you don't know is a teacher saw you do it. And what you don't know is you're just making a fool of yourself. It's like Peter when he was there, when the Lord Jesus Christ was being falsely accused, and Peter's there and warming himself by the fire, and the girl says, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And he says, "I don't even know who he is. I don't know the man." What he didn't know is John had talked to that girl and said to her, "Let Peter in. He's one of his disciples." And so she already knew who he was. She was just starting conversation. He made a fool of himself. Folks, God saw where you went. God saw what you did. And just face it. Admit it. Students, by the way, if you just tell the truth, your teacher will have a heart attack and die, and you won't get punished. Amen? No, not quite. I have teachers in the room, and they know what I'm talking about. An honest student's a blessing. Amen? We have students in our school, and they do this. I hear stories about it in staff meetings. Student did something bad. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. Student hit somebody. Boom. The child's got a red spot in their face. Teacher saw it happen. Child said, "I didn't do that." You got to sin to cover your sin, don't you? You know, if you just tell the truth, the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Try that with your teacher sometime. Just tell them, "I did it, and it was wrong. And I admit it, and I'm willing to accept my punishment because I deserve to be punished because I did what's wrong." And you know what will happen? God will use that to make you what he can use to serve him. In fact, if we confess our sins, the Bible says, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, confession is made unto salvation." You got to admit to God you're a sinner. I told you this story. I was working in the Utah State Prison, and there was a man there. And I was trying to get to him to minister to him. And the chaplain at the prison looked his record up, and he said, oh, I see what he did. And he said, until he confesses to his sin, to his crime, they won't let him out. And it's the same way with God. If we'll confess, he'll forgive us. All right, we're out of time. We've got to finish up here. Just a couple of thoughts. Here's our problem today. We're not content with what God has given us, and we turn to the world for satisfaction, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I see people, I see teenagers do it, I see adults do it. They stop being Christian in character, they stop being Christian in appearance, they stop being Christian in practice. You don't see them in church there all of a sudden. And it's breaking my heart because they're looking away from God and they won't find what they're looking for. And if you will go to God and let Him satisfy you, I read you the verse 2 weeks ago. He says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That breaks my heart, but people do that. They go elsewhere. Once you start looking for satisfaction in the world, sin will find you. It found Gehazi. Obviously, he had to lie two different times. And then in the Bible, leprosy, and we haven't talked a lot about leprosy, but just understand this, leprosy is horrible. Today, they can deal with it with some medicine and so on, but back then it was a death sentence, and it was a horrible, terrible death sentence, just like sin. When you see leprosy in the Bible, stop and think. God's pointing out something about sin in that passage. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if you'll believe it, but this is what God says. You cannot have the world's goods, the world's goodies, without having the world's sin. And that's what Gehazi learned. A great purpose in life would be, Lord, help me to be content only in you and not to seek contentment elsewhere. Help me to be satisfied only in you. And it's just like the garden. That story comes back and back and back again and again and again. It's just like the garden. They had everything they needed. The weather was undoubtedly perfect. Plenty to eat, plenty of water, plenty of shade. They walked with God in the cool of the day. Everything was perfect. And the devil said, no, you need something else. And that solved all their problems, didn't it? No, and it still won't today. It still won't today. Is it a time? The world is not the place where we are to find our ultimate rest, our ultimate wealth, our ultimate peace. And if you stop letting God be your all in all and start looking somewhere else, things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse. And again, it breaks my heart. I've seen it happen too many times. We're going to step into eternity, folks. Every single one of us that's saved, I hope you're saved. I think we all are. You're going to step into eternity one day. And when you get there, just like that, you're going to realize how much time you wasted, how much effort you wasted trying to get the things that God chose not to give you when you could have been serving Him. Lay up treasure in heaven, amen? For moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. Folks, God can make us happy better than we can make us happy if we'll let Him. And when we turn away from that and try to do it ourselves, we're going to get in trouble. You can't have it both ways. Let's all stand and pray.